One. Welcome everybody to the start of the 2022-2023 season here at Hoops HD. This is the very first of our many, many preseason preview podcasts we're going to be doing. I'm your host up here, Chad Sherwood. Joining us this evening, David Griggs and John Tytel to my sides, John Stalica right below me, Rocco Miller and Joby Forza to his sides, and this we're going to start this season off with the Big East. This is our Big East preview show. And
can you guys believe it? Like every day there's going to be content. We're doing two or three podcasts a day, a week until April.
A day, you know.
Like, yeah, we've got two. I mean, we're upping the schedule this year. We're upping the content, two, three podcasts a day until April. And we are 30 seconds into the first one, and I'm already sick of all of you.
Anyhow, let's get right into this. This is our Big East preview show, and when we talk about the Big East, I talk about the team that everyone's talking about heading into this season. Rocco, let me start with you here. All I'm hearing about is these Creighton Blue Jays heading into this season. And the big question, is this for real?
We'll find out. I mean, I think the big news in the offseason was Creighton picking up Baylor Shireman in the sweepstakes. I'm not sure if all the details have been fully disclosed, but effectively what it was at least $500K in NIL for him to go even be interested in your school. And then if you didn't have that, you couldn't be in his top five. So Creighton won the sweepstakes. He gets to stay in the Midwest, not too terribly far from South Dakota State, where he was a star. Just another shooter in the arsenal of a loaded team. I think the key for Creighton, Chad, is Ryan Kalkbrenner, who unfortunately went down with an injury last year. He's a matchup nightmare. You go back and you look at their results last year. He was the MVP in the win against San Diego State. He had some magnificent games when he's actually on the court. Problem is keeping him on the court because obviously Kalkbrenner is the kind of inside presence that can get a bunch of these Creighton shooters open and deadly. And then the other factor about Creighton is regardless if you believe they're the best team in this league or not, they have some of the most brutal travel when they go out to the east side of the conference for six or seven of their road games. It's an extended travel. So sometimes they do come out flat regardless of how good they are. That's going to be a test for this team. But McDermott's tied for first and won that tiebreaker during the 2020 year that didn't actually get a tournament. He knows how to navigate the waters now. So sky's the limit, really. But those are my overall thoughts.
Yeah. Joby, do you agree with him? I mean, and how far can this Creighton team go? I mean, should we be talking Final Four potential here?
Well, I mean, that's what a lot of people like to say. I'm not there yet. I mean, they're rightfully, I think, the best team in the Big East, or at least the preseason favorites in the Big East. I do like the Kalkmeier. I think people are forgetting about him a lot because, you know, of the injury, but he's dominant inside he is just a monster. And so, I think that's something to be honest, Creighton doesn't necessarily hang their hat on that. They hang their hat on shooters, you know, as Rocco was saying. So let's see how a good inside outside game, if they can bring the traditional shooters, I'm still waiting to see if they have that to the extent. And you know what? They finally proved that they can advance in the postseason. Is getting that monkey off their back, does that lead to a long run again? I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sold that they're Final Four. They certainly are a tournament team. They're certainly protected seed level, but I'm not there to write them in yet.
Yeah, and let's not forget about guys like Kaluma and Ryan Nemhard. I mean, there's a lot more talent behind the first guys.
Yeah.
Farabello, you know, got a lot of experience at TCU. Is going to back up Nemhard. That's a lot of experience at that position.
Right. You mentioned the postseason drought or lack thereof. They did finally get to the second weekend of the tournament 2 years ago. Went out a little bit early last year in the second round. But I as someone that has always brought that up as a detriment to that, I used to always say, like, no matter how good you think Creighton is, wait until February, they'll crash. Well, even though they haven't gone, you know, Elite Eight, Final Four yet, they still have, they've been playing noticeably better in the second half of conference play than they really have at any point in McDermott's career. So I'm starting to kind of believe that this is a legit second weekend team.
Well, Tytel, beyond Creighton, the AP Top 25 actually came out today. We're recording this just for information's sake on the evening of Monday, October 17th. The preseason Top 25 came out. Two Big East teams ranked. Besides Creighton, Villanova was in there as well. And I know you love first-year coaches. It's a guy that does have 1 year of D1 coaching experience, but the big offseason story, Jay Wright out, Kyle Neptune in.
Yeah, it's going to be some tough sledding for Neptune, I think. Obviously, he brings back plenty in the cupboard. He's got Caleb Daniels, Brandon Slater, hopefully a healthy Justin Moore, Eric Dixon. And he's got the experience. He won a pair of titles working as an assistant for Jay Wright there. But he lost some guys to the draft, including Gillespie, who is the heart and soul of the team. My concern is the health of Cam Whitmore, their big five-star recruit. He had 30 points for Team USA this summer at the gold medal game at the FIBA U18 Americas Championship. When Wright retired, Cam Whitmore called it, quote, shocking. Fortunately for them, he didn't decommit. He might be their first one-and-done player since 1997, Tim Thomas, for you trivia fans. However, he had surgery earlier this month on his right thumb. He injured it in practice. If he's healthy next month, he's going to get reevaluated. Then this team could be legit. Without him, I have some doubt.
I don't think a thumb injury is going to keep him out, even maybe a month or two into the season, but he should be around for Big East play, right?
I'm not a doctor, Chad, but yes, okay. I think so.
Well, reports are, Chad, that it could be a little longer. So, okay. I mean, he'll be back probably by the new year is what they're hoping, but it's not a done deal.
Okay, and I guess you are talking about a freshman coming in here who doesn't know the system and misses out on that preseason or early season game, so that could affect things. Stalika, you have some thoughts on Villanova as well?
All I'm going to say is that I would believe in a coach that was able to actually make Fordham look like a somewhat relevant Atlantic 10 tournament team last year. At least they finally got one postseason win in their conference tournament. And didn't they make the quarterfinal round?
Good.
Well, Griggs, let me ask you about another team here. And our good friend Zach cannot be on the podcast tonight, but his UConn Huskies have getting some preseason love here, especially with Sanoga back. What about this team? How good is UConn going to be this season?
I think that it's about where they were last year, fringe top 25, probably in and out of the top 25 a lot of the time. I know that they lost some key pieces, but they have some really good ones back. This is a really highly competitive conference, but I kind of look to see, I think that they're going to repeat, maybe even improve upon what they did last year a little bit. Like, I like the job Dan Hurley's doing here.
Rocco, do you agree with him with four of your top five scorers gone? I mean, yes, Sanoga is back, though. That is so huge. But
Yeah, Sanoga is a huge matchup nightmare for virtually everybody they play. So I like him, and I do think I'm huge on Jordan Hawkins' potential. I think he's got lottery pick potential, and this is his natural big, you know, redshirt freshman to sophomore leap season. Obviously, he'll be dependent on to really be the finisher. You got to have a good closer in a league like the Big East where games are won on the margins in the last couple minutes of the game. And I think Tristan Newton's a pretty good facilitator, obviously taking a big step up in role here and coming from an East Carolina pass where he didn't play in a lot of big games. But in general, I think as long as Sunogo's healthy and in the picture, there's certainly enough weapons around. You know, he's got a 7-2 freshman backup in Donovan Klingon that will give even more nightmares to oppositions if he can develop quickly. So I think UConn's got the ability in somewhat of a down Big East. I don't want to call it a down Big East because I do think it's deep, but I just don't think it's very top heavy. UConn's got as good a shot as anybody to win the regular season championship.
Yeah, that's a good point about the conference as a whole. And I don't want to praise UConn because Zach is a fan.
It's the other interesting story of this conference is coaches returning. We saw last year Shaka Smart returning to Marquette. Now we have two more coaches returning to their former schools for a second go around this year, starting Stalika with your school. Want to talk a little Sean Miller here?
I mean, it was certainly a whirlwind NIT. I'll just leave it at that. Travis Steele, who was his fourth season, they got off to a good start. I mean, they're starting to look like Creighton of old, where they would.
Yeah, I was about to ask start, you that.
Get like, into the top 25. Unfortunately, the Big East had the book on Steele. They collapsed, and after a crowd of maybe 1,000 people showed up for their first round NIT game, and they found out Sean Miller was showing some interest in South Carolina, they fire Steele. About 48 hours later, Miller is hired, and boom, next thing you know, 8,300 season tickets have been sold at Xavier, and that's even more than 09 when Xavier had their second Elite Eight run. But if you're looking at who's going to be coming back this year, Paul Scruggs was, I think, the only notable person that did not come back outside of Dwan Odom, who transferred to Georgia State when Jonas Hayes, who was the interim head coach, ended up winning the NIT and then took the head job at Georgia State. But as far as who's going to be returning for the Musketeers, Colby Jones, Jack Nungy are going to be two of the more notable ones, along with Kunkel and Fremantle. Also keep an eye on Sule Boom, who had transferred from UTEP. He's going to also give them hopefully a nice scoring option that the Musketeers had been lacking in conference play.
Yeah, John, let me ask you something to follow up on something that you said. They're starting to look like Creighton. For the last 4 or 5 years, they have been, as in when you get into the second half of conference play, Xavier has just shipwrecked. What is that something that you think the coaching change will help with? I mean, we've obviously seen Sean Miller have a high level of success both at Xavier and Arizona. Is this the answer for them to get back to top 25 regularity?
I mean, something had to change, because if for whatever reason Travis Steele were still head coach, his seat would have been white hot going into this year.
Tytel, I want to ask you also about this Xavier team, because was Sean Miller worth 8,700 season tickets that quickly? You being an Arizona alum.
Man, that's a lot of tickets. He's certainly he's got a complicated legacy, I think it's fair to say, in Tucson. But the fact is, like, they won hundreds and hundreds of games with him. And so he deserves some credit for that, because he was there when it happened, frankly. I don't know if he can, like, elevate them from, like, NIT champ to, like, Elite Eight in a year. But, like, I love the pieces. I think Nungy is a dark horse for, like, Big East Player of the Year this year. I think Sule Boom should make a good transfer piece coming in from San Francisco and UTEP. And Colby Jones, like, he was the MVP of the NIT. Like, I think he can keep doing well, although the 26% shooting from behind the arc for your shooting guard, I'd like to see that raised a little bit this year.
Just a wee bit. Joby, I got a team we have to discuss in the Big East. We can't overlook them ever, is Ed Cooley's Providence Friars.
Crazy. Yeah. You know, if you had asked me, oh, what do you think of Providence about, you know, 6 months ago, you know, or 4 months ago with all the departures, I would have said, well, they're toast. You know, they're going to be in for a crash. I love Ed Cooley, but they just don't have the pieces. Then all of a sudden they decide to raid the state of Kentucky and as well as the state of South Carolina and bring in some. I mean, they have one of the better transfer classes out there. Then the key is you also already have Bynum in place to stir the drink, you know, so to speak, from the guard spot. So I think that this team, and Ed Cooley's the type of coach who I think can put transfer pieces together. You know, some, you know, you need to get used to the system, et cetera. I think Cooley does a pretty good job with either freshmen who are highly regarded coming in, or in this case, the transfers coming in with Hopkins, Carter, and Locke. And I've loved Noah Locke. He just needs to find a home. I mean, the guy's bounced around so much. He needs to find a home, but I truly believe the guy's got talent and a shot from behind the arc that is really impressive. So can Providence, you know, this is the point where are we talking about. Can Providence make the tournament? I think that they have a very legit shot of making the tournament again.
Rocco, two questions for you. Number one, do you agree with him? And number two, I'll ask you after that, is there anybody else that we haven't discussed that you also are looking at as a serious tournament shot? But let's start with the first. Do you agree with Joby on Providence?
Yeah, I believe I do. I think Providence, you know, it's still early and a bunch of the forecasts out there, but from what I can tell, I think I'm a little higher on Providence than the average consensus. I would put them somewhere around the 30 range, which is like a solid 7-8 seed. And with Cooley, what they built last year and bringing Bynum back and Hopkins in, there's a lot of core there. They're also high on Corey Flo Jr., who we don't know a lot about, is a redshirt freshman. I think he'll be the sixth man on this team. It's just that camaraderie that happened last year at the dunk, all of the success they had. Even if they stumble a little bit this year, you go back to that 2020 year when the season got canceled, they were unbelievable that February.
Yeah.
So there's just like even if they start slow, I don't even really get that worried because they're going to build something with the pieces they have.
Now, am I correct that Dunkin' Donuts is no longer the sponsor for the That's building? Right. I believe so. We can only call it the Dunk, I think. I don't know that's what they're calling it these days. But
it's an insurance company, I think.
That's like a health center.
Yeah, we may call it the Dunk anyhow. But let me stick with you, Rocco, the second half here. You know, is there anybody that you're looking at as a serious NCAA tournament team, or are we just out to bubble and below at this point in this conference?
I think it goes to bubble from here, but I do think there's at least three more teams that are interesting that could certainly be tournament teams in some shape or form. I'm not saying all of them or any of them will be, but I do think they're very interesting to look at. I'll start with St. John's, I think.
Yeah, that's
really? Yeah. Okay, yeah. I was not going to start there, but go ahead. Love you, Rocco. I'll ask you about them and Titel also when you're done, but go ahead.
You know, there's a couple of sides to the coin with St. John's. I think there's the fact that Andre Curbelo comes in. He's probably the most heralded player via the portal or not. They've had in a long time. National name, national brand. They bring back a pretty good core. You know, Montez Mathis last year came over from Rutgers. They've still got Posh Alexander and Joel Soriano. There's some really good depth and experience across the board. The parts, just analytically speaking, that I hate is their schedule. Like, they have a terrible schedule, and I don't care what Mike Anderson says, he's wrong. But beyond that, in the Big East, you're going to get opportunities. So the key for St. John's will be, where can they pick up road wins? Can they go to Xavier and win? Can they go? They probably can't go to Creighton and win, but can you go win at Marquette? Can you win some of those, you know, middle games on the road that will really give them the chance to get in?
Titel, do you agree with him when you've got a team that was 17-15 last year and Julian Champagne is no longer there?
Champagne is a huge loss for this team, but as much as I love Posh Alexander, Rocco, I'm concerned that they don't have any momentum to build off of. If I can take you back to the Big East tournament quarterfinal at their gym, MSG, they're leading Villanova by 17 points with 16 minutes left. How did that work out for them?
It was a microcosm of the season because, like, the Johnnies were kind of cruising until they crashed.
That's right. Yeah, and I don't have a lot of trust. You know, if it's today and I'm putting a bracket out, I probably have them in the first four out or somewhere in there, just on the outside. But I think they're very interesting to the point where they got to be mentioned.
Well, I think the team that was more interested to me, Joby, let me ask you about this. Shaheen Holloway taking over in Seton Hall. Yeah. I can't figure this team out looking at them preseason.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, the shift from St. Peter's, I think that's a good stepping stone place. I have the same question. Everybody on this podcast and everybody who watched St. Peter's last year, was it a miracle one-time run that Holloway was able to ride? We just don't know, you know. But the good news is he has one of his better players coming with him in Defo, making the trek across the state. I think he's going to need time. I really do. I think this is, I feel like it's a little different from Willard. The vibe will be different. Hall will be competitive without a doubt, but I don't think they're going to be dancing. You know, when we ask how many teams you think make it at the end of our podcast today, when I give my number, they will not be calculated as part of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that, Joby, and I'll bring Chad and Stalika, well, Rocco too, because I know they follow under the radar. St. Peter's, for much of the year, and by much of it, I mean all of it, did not look anything like they did it from the semifinals of the Metro Atlantic Tournament on.
Iona dominated that league last season.
So when you're looking at the entire body of work, this is not a knock on St. Peter's. I'm not trying to diminish what they did, but for 90% of the season, they did not look like that. Not even close.
The committee got it right. We're looking at resumes to give them a 15.
Yeah.
That was what you could say, oh, retrospect, they should have been hiring a 15. No. If you look at their body of work, they were a 15 seed. And that's, you got to go with that when you don't have the cross pollination you do in the Power Five.
Yeah.
I would just say, like, I agree with you largely as a whole. You know, St. Peter's never had the win last year until. Even in the MAC tournament, they didn't have to beat Iona. They got upset by Ryan. Yeah. So they didn't have that win until they played Kentucky in the actual tournament. But I will say, if you follow the analytics closely, St. Peter's had a top 40, top 50 defense all year. And with that tournament run, they finished top 28, I think, in adjusted defense. And I think that's important because you look at the Seton Hall roster, they're going to be one of the most elite defensive teams in the Big East. I think they're probably for sure top three, could easily finish the number one defense in this league. And it's going to play out a lot like, even though St. Peter's was in a one-bit league, it's going to play out that way. Well, they'll be very dangerous by the Big East tournament, I think. KC Andefo is a top 10, if not higher, all-around defensive player. Amir Dawes is a great defensive player. Mm-hmm. They're just going to need a lot of – the offense is the biggest question mark. Can Kadari Richmond really be – a closer? There's a lot of questions there. You need good offense to beat some of these awesome offenses at the top of the Big East. But I think they bring something very interesting to the league, and people are not going to like playing against this team.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at one other team. Well, a few other teams left here, but Stalika, I mentioned coaches returning, and another coach returned to school that he coached at least for a season is Thad Mata. We're coming back to Butler this year.
Yeah, he's going to be coming back after about, 20 years separated from this school. He did have one season as head coach, but that was way back in 2000, 2001, when they demolished Wake Forest in the first round. And fortunately for a school 100 miles down the road, Mike Babinski, the AD for Xavier at the time, was watching and hired him away. And that would end up being Mata's next stop before he took the Ohio State job a few years later. Now, if we're looking at Butler this year, they're going to have only two starters of note that are going to be returning, but they do have a decent young core in Chuck Harris, Jaden Taylor, and Seamus Lukosius. And they also have a couple of grad transfers, transfers, period, as far as Ali coming from Akron, and Manny Bates, who was at NC State a couple years ago and was one of the leading shot blockers in the country, but he only got a few minutes last year because of a shoulder injury in the opening game for NC State. We'll have to see how he handles about a year of rehab here.
Do you think how long is it going to take Thad Mata to get things turned around here? Maybe that's the question, not if this year, but how long?
I think it depends on how healthy Manny Bates is. As Stalika said, he played one game last year due to a shoulder injury. But when healthy in the ACC, he was top 15 in the nation in blocks as a freshman and sophomore. That being said, if he's healthy, no, they're not going to win 20 games and make the tournament, but certainly a step in the right direction. I really hope the kid is healthy this year.
Yeah, real quick on Thad Mata, there is no doubt that he has had a fantastic career with what he did at Butler. He's a Butler alum. He played there. He really was responsible for getting Xavier from a fringe tournament, mostly NIT team, to a top 25 program, even though he was there a short time. And we all know what he did at Ohio State. My question is, does he still have it in him? Yeah. Sometimes when coaches leave and come back, they're scratching an itch that they have to stay in the game, but the original fire that they had isn't really there. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Rocco, the team I expect to take a major step backwards this year is Shaka's Marquette team. They were a tournament team last year. I don't expect it to be this year. Do you?
I don't expect it, but I'm not counting them out. Okay. I think they have a better, let's just say, I think they have a better chance to get there than Butler. I think they have a little more upside because Cam Jones, like, they're going to give the ball to Cam Jones now as their go-to guy. I don't think he fills in for what they replaced that we know about. But again, he's one of those guys going from freshman to sophomore jump. He's got a ton of upside. And when you got upside, you got hope. And I think Marquette's got a little bit more of that than Butler, for example. But I love Tyler Kolek. He's one of my favorite players. He's an ultimate glue guy, hustles for every ball, makes open threes, gets rebounds, prospers a great ingredient down low. You know, Stevie Mitchell off the bench could be nice. You know, I think for Marquette to really take a leap towards the top half of the league this year, some of these freshmen might need to step up, like a Sean Jones or a Chase Ross. Might be a little bit too much to ask. So I do, in general, agree with you, Chad. But so many of these guys are unknowns, and I love what Kolek and Prosper bring. You know what you're getting from those two, that you can, you know, you can hold out some hope here.
Tata, you know I've got to go here with you. You go to a lot of their games.
On purpose.
The only question with Georgetown is – this is Patrick Ewing's last season there.
My response is depends what the buyout is, but I defy anybody to say like that there's a more important game for any coach in the country than November 8th when Coppin State comes three blocks away from my apartment in Georgetown, because he's lost 21 in a row. Tell me he doesn't need that game.
Oh, geez, he does. Joby, DePaul is in this conference.
They are well, and DePaul is, you know, they do return Jalen Terry, who's a solid point guard, but you know, this is, you know, we thought DePaul was kind of, we were having fun with DePaul last year for a little bit. We're not going to have a lot of fun.
Well, they got a, you know, Zion Cruz coming in here too. You know,
Moses Gibson's coming in. Caleb Murphy from USF. You know. They're getting some pieces, but I don't know if those pieces, you know, were real. They're more like, it isn't a case of like Odom. When we're talking Odom from USF, it's like from San Francisco, USF. We're saying he was widely sought after. Yeah, you know, I don't know if Murphy and Gibson really like, oh, we need, it's more they're searching for an open spot, and DePaul's bad enough to give them an open spot.
Well, let's – DePaul is probably still 100 miles away from the NCAA tournament, but going in the last year, they were about 1,000 miles away. I mean, they went from 5 wins to 15 with a first-year head coach, and do I think that they'll be, you know, competitive in the top
half? So you're predicting 25 this year?
No, I'm thinking – I'm thinking maybe 17 or 18. I think that they're going to be better than they were a year ago.
I do like Stubblefield. I think he is good. Yeah. I think he's a good head coach.
Now, for what it's worth, Louisville did chicken out of a return game at Wintrust Arena after they lost at home to DePaul last year.
We'll talk about Louisville later, unfortunately. Or maybe we won't. I don't
know. On that note, what I do want to do here, that is all 11 teams. I want to just run through each of you real quick, ask you how many teams from the Big East you think are going to make the NCAA tournament, and who do you think the regular season champion is going to be? It's probably going to be Creighton for most of you, but you may go somewhere else. But let me run through each of you. Tytel, let me start with you. Regular season champion and how many bids?
My regular season champ, if Cam Whitmore is healthy and legit, is Villanova, even though they lost a ton, including their new coach. I can certainly understand why everybody wants to go with Creighton. As far as how many bids, I will set the over-under at 4.5, and I will take the under. I think Villanova and Creighton are slam dunks. I think Xavier gets in. As far as a fourth from Provident, UConn, et cetera, I have my doubts.
Really? Okay. Rocco, do you agree with him? You're going higher than that, and you agree with him on Nova?
In a strange way, I agree with part of that. But winning the regular season, I have UConn winning the regular season.
Wow.
And I do have Villanova winning the Big East tournament, because I do think they're going to be very strong by the end of the year when they get through the injuries. And then outside of that, of course, Creighton getting in, just barely getting second behind UConn in my forecast here. And then I'm higher on Providence, like I said, on most, so they're in. And then I've got Xavier getting in as the fifth team.
Interesting. You've got the same five teams in. I agree with you completely on those five teams. My question mark is Seton Hall, but I'm having them out right now. But I have Creighton winning this conference. I'm going to go with the media here and all that. Sleeka, what about you?
I'm probably going to be a little more bearish. I'm only going to go with four teams right here. I still think Villanova is going to find a way to end up winning the regular season title. Creighton might end up winning the conference tournament. But outside of those two, I'm going to say UConn and Xavier are probably going to be the other two teams that end up getting in. I'm not sure if we're going to see a dark horse like a Seton Hall, a St. John's, or a Marquette sneaking into MSG and winning the conference tournament. The odds have not been typically in their favor.
No, Joby.
I'm going to I agree with Tytel's 4.5 and go with the under. I think that's well stated. I am going to go with the preseason chalk, though, and say Creighton, yeah, is your champ. As I mentioned earlier, I think Providence is going to be higher in the standings than people realize. I think they've got a good team. I think they will find their way in, and they will be part of the four.
Rocco and I are both with you on the Providence pick.
With Sean Miller.
Wow, that is yeah. Well,
you think Xavier is a team that's out in that mix?
I think they might be. I think they might be the teams out. Or if I can anger Zach, you know, Connecticut.
Yes, please.
Okay. Griggs, your
I think it'd make Zach more angry just by having Providence in.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say that last year I said Providence was not going to be a factor in the preseason, and I was proven correct. So, I don't believe that again this year. I'm only going with four, I think. As much as I like this conference, I think it is full of teams outside. I don't think it's full of protected seeds, maybe one, maybe two at the most. Yeah. But I think it's full of what we normally see out of the Mountain West, teams between the 30 and 60 range. I kind of like this UConn team, even though I don't like Zach. And I think that they can get in. But another, I think Creighton wins the league. I think Xavier is inside the bubble, probably in on the first valid. I think they get two more. But one of the teams I'm going to keep an eye on, and this is a bit of a dark horse, is the St. John's team, because for much of the year last year, up until the second half of conference play, I think they did look pretty good. And I like Mike Anderson. I don't know if they get all the way in, but I think we're talking about them at the end. And one of the things that may keep them out is exactly something Rocco referred to was, well, look, they didn't give – look at their out-of-conference schedule.
Yeah. Yeah, they could definitely be the Wake Forest of this year.
Yeah.
I meant to ask for any other final thoughts when I went through this, but I know, Tytel, you have one definitely. So let me toss it back to you.
I haven't had thoughts in years.
Okay.
So one coach we're going to be missing from this conference in our college basketball universe is the legendary Jay Wright at Villanova. Unprecedented streak. I wasn't sure that anybody could fill Raleigh Massimino's gigantic shoes, but the past 9 years since 2014, all he did was finish first or second in this basketball-centric conference every single year. Championship 2016, championship 2018, Final Four 2022. Sadly, all he can do now is hang out in Philadelphia and watch the Phillies who never lose, the Eagles who never lose, Penn football who never loses. Chad, good time to be retired in Philly, right?
Bam! Just like that. Absolutely.
I just want to say that if they make a movie about about Jay Wright, George Clooney is playing him.
quickly here, Joby, any other thoughts from you?
I just want to echo exactly what Greg said. I think there's a lot of people who will be playing in the postseason in this conference, but I'm not sure if they'll be dancing in March. They might be NITing it, and we could see a repeat, Salika, of various teams following your team's footsteps.
Yes, Salika.
Well, I can tell you point blank, Sean Miller was not brought in so they could defend the NIT. But as far as my tagline goes, as we look at the Big East version 2.2.0, this is what we're going to be looking at with Jay Wright now retired and Kyle Neptune trying to take over after some modest success at Fordham from 1 year. We're looking at Sean Miller, who's going to try to revamp his career a little bit after a rough ending at Arizona, but did leave on a high note at Xavier with an Elite Eight and a Sweet 16 at the end of his career. And we'll see how much Thad Mata also has left in the tank over at Butler.
Yep. Rock, what are your thoughts of you to finish off the show here?
Yeah, I think Neptune's the story to watch all year. If there is one, there's several. We've touched on a bunch, but because it's an ultimate test of wills, because Villanova for the last several years has operated as a blue blood, two national championships. Tytel pointed out, just very successful program in a city that's doing nothing but succeeding. But at the same time, he's got two major injuries to deal with. He might not get Justin Moore back at all this year. But they are loaded and they are well funded and they are going to be packed for every game. They love their Nova Nation out there. It's just it'll be an interesting story because I think when you look at their schedule, they got to play at Temple and at Michigan State right out of the gates. Both those are tough road games, true road games. And then you got the PK 85 right around Thanksgiving. So they could be looking at four losses real easily by the time we get out of November. So it is going to be an evolution with this Villanova team, I think.
All right. Well, Griggs, unfortunately, I have no time for you.
Oh, okay. This will be very quick. Stalica, can we get him on the screen? Can you stand up for 1 second? I just want to show everybody he is wearing what is perhaps the greatest uniform in the history of college basketball. This is the Xavier running man uniform. Why don't they bring these back permanently? They brought Sean Miller back. I would have rather them brought these uniforms back.
Stand up one more time, Salika, so we have you on the screen there. There you go. That's the uniform there.
Unfortunately, they also brought back a blue and gold abomination the past couple of years. Yeah. Let us not speak of those again.
On that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. If you want to follow any other of our preseason content, there is a season preview tab up top there. Check it out. All the preseason podcasts will be there. Also up there, you'll find an interview that we just did this morning also with Selection Committee Chairman Chris Reynolds. Lots of other great content. But at this point in time, on behalf of David Griggs, John Tytel, John Salica, Rocco Miller, check him out at Bracketeer.org, Joby Fortson, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again very soon.